Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly. I'm Sarah, and this is our quarterly earnings deep dive. Today, we're analyzing General Electric's Q1 2026 10Q filing, released April 21st. With me is Mike, our aerospace industry analyst. Mike, we're looking at a company that just posted $12.39 billion in revenue with some interesting margin dynamics. Let's get right into it.
Thanks, Sarah. If we reduce this filing to one sentence, it's this. GE Aerospace is executing a high-volume, margin compression growth strategy while betting on supply chain normalization to restore profitability. Based on this filing, General Electric is operating in mid-cycle expansion. They're ramping production aggressively, but haven't yet achieved the operational leverage that typically defines late-cycle performance.
That's a sharp thesis. Let's test it against the numbers. What were the material changes versus what we'd expect from a typical aerospace manufacturer?
The headline number is striking. Total revenue jumped $2.5 billion, or 25%, compared to Q1 2025. For context, aerospace manufacturers typically see single-digit revenue growth in stable cycles. So 25% signals either a major recovery or unsustainable demand pull forward. Management explicitly stated this increase was driven by increased engine deliveries and price for equipment, plus increased internal shop visit volume and work scopes, and higher spare parts volume for services.
But the margin story tells a different tale, doesn't it?
Exactly. Here's where the growth at what cost question emerges. Operating profit margin dropped 200 basis points to 21.8%, and profit margin fell a dramatic 490 basis points to 17.7%. In aerospace, operating margins typically run 15-25% for established players, so 21.8% isn't alarming in isolation. But the 490 basis point decline in overall profit margin suggests they're sacrificing profitability for volume. Classic mid-cycle behavior where companies chase market share before achieving operational leverage.
Walk me through the causality chain here. If this margin compression persists, what breaks?
If margin compression continues while they're ramping production, their return on invested capital deteriorates. They're planning to invest $1 billion in U.S. manufacturing and hire 5,000 U.S. workers in 2026, according to the MD&A. If margins don't recover as volumes scale, that billion-dollar investment generates subpar returns, which changes the equity story from a growth play to a capital destruction scenario.
Let's dig into management's tone. What signals are you picking up from their commentary?
Management's language reveals cautious optimism mixed with operational realism. They explicitly acknowledge ongoing challenges, stating global material availability and supplier delivery performance continue to cause disruptions and have impacted our production and delivery of equipment and services to our customers. That's not sugarcoating. They're admitting supply chain issues are still constraining their business.
Any specific phrases that caught your attention?
Two key quotes stand out. First, we expect a significant ramp in our delivery of engine units and services for newer product platforms in the years ahead to meet this demand. That's management telegraphing sustained high growth expectations. Second, they said, through flight deck and the engagement with our suppliers, aftermarket output and engine deliveries have continued to improve quarter over quarter. Flight deck appears to be their internal supply chain optimization program, and they're using it as evidence that operational improvements are gaining traction.
There's also geopolitical commentary in here, right?
Yes, and it's more detailed than typical boilerplate. They specifically mentioned monitoring the conflict in the Middle East and the potential impact on the commercial aerospace industry, including lower utilization and increased prices and lower availability of fuel. They noted this can result in adverse effects on our airline customers and could mean lower volume related to shop visits, spare parts, and spare engines. However, they concluded the conflict did not result in a material impact on our operations in the 3 months ended March 31st, 2026.
Moving to financial red flags, what's the balance sheet telling us?
From a liquidity standpoint, this is actually a confirmation rather than a red flag. They're sitting on $43.30 billion in cash and equivalents, which is exceptionally strong for an aerospace manufacturer. For context, most aerospace companies maintain cash positions of $5.15 billion, so $43 billion suggests either recent asset sales or extremely conservative cash management.
What about the debt picture?
Total debt is $2.10 billion, with long-term debt at $20.47 billion. The debt-to-cash ratio is remarkably low. They have more than double their total debt in cash. This isn't a balance sheet under stress, it's a balance sheet positioned for aggressive investment or acquisition. The filing shows interest and other financial charges were flat at $0.2 billion, indicating stable debt service costs.
Any working capital trends worth noting?
The filing doesn't provide explicit working capital breakdowns, but we can infer from their commentary about increased internal shop visit volume and work scopes that they're processing more work through their facilities. This typically requires working capital investment, but with their cash position, working capital absorption isn't a constraint.
Let's talk risk disclosures. Any new risks or escalated language?
The filing notes, no new or significantly escalated risk factors identified versus prior filing. However, they do spend considerable time on tariff-related risks, mentioning that in 2026, the Supreme Court ruled against tariffs imposed under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, but noting the ruling did not address refunds of tariffs paid. They haven't recorded any benefit for potential IEEPA tariff refunds, which suggests conservative accounting, but potential upside if refunds materialize.
What about operational risks they're highlighting?
Supply chain risk remains their primary operational concern. They explicitly state, "We expect the impact of supply chain constraints and inflation will continue." For an aerospace manufacturer ramping production, persistent supply chain issues create delivery risk, customer satisfaction risk, and margin pressure risk. They're trying to mitigate this through supplier partnerships and their flight deck program, but they're not declaring victory yet.
We covered liquidity briefly, but let's go deeper on balance sheet positioning.
Looking at the capital structure, this is a company positioned for expansion, not survival. The $43.30 billion cash position against $22.57 billion total debt creates enormous financial flexibility. They can fund the $1 billion manufacturing investment from cash flow, pursue acquisitions, or return capital to shareholders without touching debt markets.
Are there any lease obligations or off-balance sheet items mentioned?
The filing doesn't detail specific lease obligations in the MD&A section, but they do mention investing in our manufacturing facilities, overhaul facilities, which typically involves both owned assets and leased capacity. Given their cash position, lease obligations aren't a liquidity concern.
Let's break down the segment performance. Commercial versus defense. Who's winning?
Commercial engines and services is the clear winner in both growth and scale. Revenue jumped $2.3 billion or 34%, with profit up $0.4 billion or 23%. Management attributed this to internal shop visit volume and work scopes, increased spare parts volume, increased install engine deliveries, and pricing. The 34% revenue growth far exceeds typical commercial aerospace growth rates of 5-10%, indicating either market share gains or cyclical recovery.
What about defense and propulsion technologies?
Defense showed solid but more modest growth, revenue up 19% and profit up 17%. Management noted domestic and international government defense departments focus on modernizing and scaling their forces while maintaining flight operations. Defense growth of 19% is actually quite strong for that sector, where 5-15% is more typical, but it's being overshadowed by the commercial surge.
Any specific contract wins worth highlighting?
Yes, they announced several significant deals. United Airlines selected more than 300 GEnx engines to power their new Boeing 787 Dreamliners. American Airlines committed to CFM LEAP 1A engine for future Airbus 321 ENEO deliveries. Delta chose GEnx engines to power 30 new Boeing 787-10s with options for 30 more. These aren't just revenue. They're multi-decade service relationships that create recurring cash flows.
Final section. What should traders and investors monitor going forward?
Three key metrics to watch. First, operating profit margins. If they don't start recovering by Q3 2026 despite volume growth, the operational leverage thesis breaks. Second, their remaining performance obligation, which increased $20.7 billion or 11% to $207.4 billion. This backlog growth needs to translate into profitable revenue. Third, supply chain performance metrics. They need to demonstrate that Flight Deck is actually solving delivery constraints.
What's your if wrong clause here?
If operating margins expand above 25% by Q4 2026 while maintaining 20% plus revenue growth, our mid-cycle expansion thesis is wrong. They'd be demonstrating late-cycle operational leverage faster than expected. Alternatively, if supply chain constraints worsen and revenue growth decelerates below 10% while margins continue compressing, they'd be sliding toward contraction rather than expanding.
Does the evidence support your opening thesis?
The evidence confirms it. They're executing high volume growth. 25% revenue increase validates that. They're experiencing margin compression. 200 basis points on operating profit confirms that. They're betting on supply chain normalization. The $1 billion manufacturing investment and Flight Deck program confirm that. This is textbook mid-cycle expansion behavior, prioritizing growth over margins while investing for future operational leverage.
How should investors frame the valuation here?
At current margins, this equity trades like a growth story with execution risk, not a mature aerospace cash generator. The $43 billion cash position provides downside protection, but the margin compression means investors are paying for future operational leverage that hasn't materialized yet.
That wraps our analysis of GE's Q1 2026 filing. Remember, this is analysis for informational purposes only, not investment advice. Always consult your financial advisor and read the full filing before making investment decisions. Thanks for listening to Aviation Intelligence Weekly. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mike. We'll be back next week with more aerospace earnings analysis.